Our reading this morning is Psalm 23. Psalm 23, that I'm sure many of us are familiar with. Psalm 23, part of this little break from Romans. And Psalm 23 has six verses. It's a psalm of David, and it begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And we thank the Lord for that word, and we'll turn to it in just some minutes. I'm going to ask. As always, if you have a Bible with you, do please turn it to Psalm 23. This is one of the best known of all the Psalms, undoubtedly. It speaks of sheep and their shepherd, but the Lord's people are the sheep, and he is their shepherd. The writer, King David, seems also to have another idea in mind. And that is that of a journey, not only from one place to another, but one experience in life to another. And that journey in life is reflected in the changes of setting the psalmist brings before us. And I want to share those four settings with you in order that the Lord might help us reflect on our own lives. I want you to notice first that there is a meadow. In verse 2, David says, "God makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still or quiet waters." The picture is of a meadow in spring and the green grass on which sheep can graze and the still water that they can drink. On the journey of life, the meadow seems to be those times on our life's journey when we have what we need and all seems to be going well. There's a settledness in our circumstances and there's peace in our hearts. So much so, the psalmist says, we can lie down and rest. Now, life is not always like this. Of course it isn't. Many a care has kept us awake at night, and we all know that. But even these occasions have taught us to know and also appreciate the times when all has gone well. All the more. But David says something else about the meadow. In it, he says, "God restores my soul." He seems to acknowledge that if in some ways we're like sheep, in other ways we're not. Yes, there's a physicality about us, but there's also a spirituality to us. He seems to be saying that the times of plenty should remind us not only to enjoy the gifts in such a season, but the giver of those gifts. And to do this is not only to be circumstantially blessed, but spiritually strengthened by the shepherd who restores our souls also. And so I wonder, where are we in life at the moment? How are things for us in the present? If our most basic needs are met, have we turned to him who can restore our souls also? And even as we get older, we know that the outer man might be wasting away, but the inner man, the inner us, the inner you and me, can become stronger each day. as we look not only to the material benefits and advantages around us, but look to our God and our shepherd too. And this, I think, is what David is asking us to do in the meadow, to enjoy all that the Lord has provided, but remember the giver. Remember that we may be like sheep, but we're not sheep. We have souls and spirits, and the Lord can restore those souls too as we look beyond the gifts to him and acknowledge him as our God and our shepherd. Notice, secondly, there are also paths. He leads me in paths of righteousness, it says in an older translation, for his own name's sake. At this point in the psalm, the meadow gives way to another scene, and it's that of life's journeys, or it's those times when we're on the move. For paths of righteousness can simply mean the right path or the right way. David himself knew what it was to be on the move. He started life as a shepherd boy. Then he was taken from an ordinary family home and life in the fields to live in a palace. He was taken from herding sheep to ruling a nation. And then he was pursued by Saul and then by his wayward son Absalom, and he flees into the desert, finds himself living in a cave without laws, only later to return to the palace again. He was somebody on the move. What about ourselves? Now, not all of us, but certainly some of us have traveled a very long way in life. I was talking to Alex this morning, and we were talking about the journey from Hong Kong. Some of our dear friends have come such a distance. But then there are others in the church from parts of Africa that may well have outdone you and come a greater distance too. And then, of course, there are people like myself that are imports from another country. Wasn't even born on mainland Britain, really. And so some of us have come a long way. If our life journeys were traced on a map, they would feature a lot of lines. But David invites us to ask, what is behind it all? Now, answers may include economic considerations, like work, or political considerations, as many of our Hong Kong friends know, or new relationships like marriage, or later down the line, family. David knew such influences. Of course he did. But for him, they're secondary. And that's the important point in this psalm. For he trusted a God who, he says, led and guided him. His life is far more than a random selection of arbitrary influences. Rather, he sees the outworking of God's purposes in all these movements, not only for himself, but for God's glory, as he says in verse 3, for his own name's sake. And so I wonder, is God part of our life journey? It really doesn't matter that I've come all the way from Ireland at the age of 16, or some of our Hong Kongers have come all the way from Hong Kong or Ghana or other parts of the world. That really, really doesn't matter in the fullest sense. What really matters is this. Is God part of our life journey? Is he in it? Is he behind it? Has he led us to where we are? If yes, that's great. But if not, I'm here to tell you this morning, he can be. He can be part of your life journey. Listen to these lovely words. I suspect so many of us will have them underlined in our Bibles. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, that doesn't mean that he'll remove all the corners in life. What it actually means is he'll make sense of the journeys that you take. He'll add reason and purpose and point to the journeys that you make. because they themselves are not the only thing. But what matters is that the Lord is in it and behind it and part of its continuing movement as we each trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understandings. Notice, thirdly, there is a dark valley. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in verse 4. Now, at this point, the safety and provision of the meadow and the positive prospects of the right path give way to a shadowy, dark place. David seems to have in mind those times when what life throws at us, we want to throw back, but we can't. Maybe his valley are those times in the wilderness. None of us are strangers to the shadowy, dark place. If we're strangers to the shadowy, dark place, I would have to ask, what planet have you been living on for these years? So I know that you, like me, have known the shadowy, dark place. It can be the loss of loved ones or relationship breakdowns. It can be health issues or illness or financial worries or loneliness or regrets, etc., etc., etc. It can be the prospect of our lives ending. On and on it goes. Lots of experiences feel like living in a dark valley, and did for many who came to Jesus during his time on this earth. Very ordinary things that had become for them the shadow. Now, how does David in the psalm deal with this? Well, he does so by recalling that he need fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord he knows and trusts is with him to comfort him. Listen to verse 4. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What David means is that not only is the Lord with him, but by his shepherd's crook, I would say this is the Holy Spirit, today, that other counselor that Jesus said he would send. By his shepherd's crook, he guides David through the worst. Now, what are we going through today? What are you going through? And what am I going through today? What are we struggling with? And platitudes like, don't worry, it'll be okay in the end, just don't cut it. They just don't work. If we're experiencing challenging times, what we really need, as we know, are not platitudes, but presence. God's presence. That's what we need in the valley of the shadow of death. Moses saw this a very long time ago. God called him to a challenging place in life. And he said to God, when Moses realized the enormity of the call upon his life, he said, if your presence does not go with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. If you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go. To which the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. How wonderful those words. That whatever prospect is before us, however like the valley of the shadow of death it might seem, whatever fear it strikes into our hearts, the Lord has said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Isn't that worth shouting hallelujah for? I mean, come on, a little, just a squeak. Hallelujah! Yes, well done. Because it's so true. It's so true. David knew God's presence, and thank God, so can we. So can we. But moving on for now, at this point in the psalm, given that illness and possibly the prospect of death may be in view, you'd expect the psalm to end. You'd expect the journey to end. After all, it was the valley of the shadow of death. What else is there to talk about? But David does have something else to talk about. And so notice, finally, there is a house in this psalm. After a life in which goodness and mercy has followed him, David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's words suggest heaven to us. And certainly Jesus used similar imagery. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. But it's more than just a house. The imagery is of a home. A home is more than a house. It's the Lord's house. He lives there. Paul says, better to be at home with the Lord. He's talking about glory. Now, why does Scripture resort to this imagery of a home when talking of heaven? It's because home is the place of love. Home is the place of acceptance. Home is the place of intimacy with each other here, but with the Lord also there. Now, Sheena and I went to hear a talk given by the UK coastal walker, Chris Lewis, at the library in Bigger. And the interview asked him if, after all his travels, he now struggled to think of anywhere as home. He'd walked thousands of miles round Britain's coasts with just a little dog. Don't get any ideas, by the way, if anybody's thinking they've had enough. But on his epic walk, he took 6 years. He met his wife, Kate, on this walk. And they now have a son called Magnus. And so when he thought about the question, do you struggle with where you now call home? He said, home? Home is anywhere they are. That's home. And this is what heaven really is. It's not just a location. It's about being in the presence of God. And those that are in his family and who we've loved that are in that family too. So heaven is about reunion. It's about our gathering back together in a way that is beyond our wildest dreams and imagination. This is what glory is. Hallelujah. So there we have it, the storyline of our lives, reflected in a meadow, a path, a dark valley, and a home. These are the threads that compose the tapestries that are all our lives. Living them out can seem like the confusion we feel at the back of a tapestry where threads are running all over the place and there's absolutely no discernible pattern. Or in keeping with the psalm, we can at times feel like sheep running all over the place but needing a shepherd. Needing a shepherd. For David, God was the shepherd who helped him. Lie down in the green pasture. Walk along the right path. Survive the dark valley and dwell in his own house. And when we come to know and trust the shepherd David did, our life's journey takes on a whole new meaning. And it did for David, and it can for us. As I close, notice something else. Last week we talked about salvation. Now, it's a great word, but it can sound a little bit remote from everyday life. However, in the Old Testament, the word is more commonly used of deliverances David talks about in this psalm. It describes the activity of God in providing for and protecting us as shepherds do for their sheep. But How do we find the shepherd? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd of David's day speaks to each one of us this morning in our own day through his son. Jesus is David's shepherd with skin on. And notice a few things about the good shepherd. We think we're searching for him, but actually he's searching for us. In Luke 15, Jesus goes after the one lost sheep and carries it upon his shoulders to safety. This is why it's not unusual for people to find Jesus in a crisis. Because such crises teach us that we're lost and that we need him. If we ask how he gathers his lost sheep, well, he speaks and they hear his voice. Some will hear the voice of Jesus through these words this morning, and others will not hear those words, but some will. He calls to us in the same way shepherds call to sheep. One writer tells of a scene he witnessed near Jerusalem. This is H.V. Morton. He was an explorer in the past. He said two shepherds had sheltered their large flocks of sheep in a cave for the night, and I happened to be there. But then I thought to myself, how would they be sorted, all these sheep that belonged to two flocks, the next day? So in the morning I watched, and one shepherd stood at a short distance away. And all he did was call out. And he called out, and his flock, only his flock, ran to him because they knew his voice and responded to no one else. They knew the call of their own shepherd. This is how the Lord calls us. We hear his voice. Jesus, like that calling shepherd, I suppose, I have to believe, has been standing behind this message this morning and calling to some of us. And he's been calling out, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. These are the shepherd's words, not Kieran's. What do I know? Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. These are the shepherd's words. Can you hear him? Can you hear him? Can you hear him? The good shepherd has been calling here today through this word. Have you heard him? And will you answer him? Will you answer him and say to him, here I am, Lord. Like our little grandson, he runs into our house each Monday morning. Here I am! I'm back! I'm back! And we didn't dare frown. We had to smile with him or he would disintegrate. He says, I'm back! I'm back! Have we said to the Lord, here I am, Lord. I need you. And I receive you as my good shepherd who has laid down his life for wayward sheep just like me. If we have, hallelujah. If we haven't, have you heard his voice? Have you heard his voice this morning? If you've heard his voice, shout, it's me! And he's big enough to take it and accept you and receive you because he has died for all your sins and mine. What a shepherd. He is the gate, remember. He is the gate. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that though we are all like sheep gone astray and each of us has turned to his own way, you have laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Lord, help us remember you in the times of plenty, when we take the wrong paths, when we complain bitterly in the dark valley, and we want to be free of your house, just like the prodigal. Be merciful toward us. Be gracious unto us. And receive us to yourself, that we might know David's joy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Father, we do bless and praise you and thank you for fellowship together, for the bond of your spirit in each of us. We thank you for the gift of your son, And we just pray that grace, mercy, and peace, as it did David, will continue to follow us all the days of our lives, and that we will find one another and you in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen.